Shalom.
Shalom.
That was great. My name is Stuart Flom, and I'm honored to share my story with all of you. I grew up in Pittsburgh in a traditional Orthodox affiliated family. My family kept kosher, and I had a very loving family. I had three sisters, and they all, we just had a lot of love between us, but I had this special relationship with my father, having three sisters and no brothers. My dad, my relationship with him was pretty incredible, and I remember walking to shul or synagogue for Yom Kippur, just me and him, and it was just a very special time that we had. He owned a grocery store, and I loved going to work with him and just spending that time together with him. I remember we were finishing up working in the grocery store, getting ready to go home for dinner, and I grabbed this bag of Bachman Jacks, you know, the big Bachman cheesy Jacks. You know, I shouldn't talk about this on Yom Kippur when we're all fasting, but I grabbed this big bag of Bachman Jacks as we were going home for dinner. And my mother, being a good Jewish mother, she was preparing this great meal for us. And we devoured this whole large bag of Bachman Jacks. Needless to say, my mother was not too pleased. But we shared a lot of love. My parents tried to instill in us the importance of being a good Jew, but God was always a question mark. For me. When I was a boy, probably about 9 or 10 years old, this is kind of small, folks being far away, this is a miniature Torah. And my grandmother took me aside. I knew I was her special one. And she took me aside and she said to me, "I have some things that belong to your grandfather." And I never knew him. My Hebrew name was Chaim. I was named after him. He died before I was born. And she handed me this Torah, and she said to me, "One day the Messiah will come and make everything right." And that thought stayed with me. Well, I continued to grow. I had my bar mitzvah, like most Jewish boys do, or men, at 13. The thing about my bar mitzvah was not that I remembered was not so much the ceremony, but the preparation. I prepared for over a year to chant the Haftarah, which is the portion from the prophets. And 2 weeks before I was to have my bar mitzvah, the principal of the Hebrew school came into my classroom, and he looked at me and he said, "Oi." And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "We made a big mistake. The portion that you're to chant is different because your bar mitzvah is on a Rosh Chodesh, or a new moon. And so I had to study and learn a new portion 2 weeks prior." That was a lot of fun. When I was 19, my father died from colon cancer. And that was devastating to me. It put a big hole in my heart. My family didn't communicate real well about bad things. As a matter of fact, I never knew that my father had cancer until after he died. We had one of those families, and because we were affiliated with an Orthodox synagogue, the prescribed method of mourning would be that you would go to the synagogue daily, and you would recite the early morning prayers and chant the mourner's kaddish, just like we just did. The thing that bothered me about that, however, was that the minyan that I was a part of, a minyan is a quorum of at least 10 men, would try to time the prayers to see how fast they could pray. And I just shook my head. I said, "If we're praying to the God of the universe, something is wrong with this picture." And so I decided to, I left that Orthodox shul, and I was searching. I searched all the different branches of Judaism. I did get involved with some Hasidic Jews. I tried Eastern meditation. And I made 2 trips to Israel as well, and spent 1 summer at Tel Aviv University studying Jewish theology, which was quite interesting. But I was searching. After I graduated from college, I was planning to go to law school, but I felt I needed some time to get my head together. So I remember being at a party, and I wanted to go to California. That was the place that people went to find themselves, right? You guys know that, right? So I wanted to go to California, and I said, who wants to go to California? Well, a guy at this party said, how about Connecticut? I said, it begins with C, Connecticut, California, you know? So made it up to Connecticut, found myself working at, actually wound up at a camp for special needs kids in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And from that point, I wound up teaching special education the following fall. That's where I met somebody very special. It didn't take me long to fall in love with Martha, who's right over there. But Martha just had this incredible compassion and love for me. She sensed how badly that I was hurting. And the thing that was a real paradox for me was that when we spoke about her and her personality, she said, my love and compassion comes from my relationship with Jesus. And another, oi! You know, Jesus is not for Jews. That's what I said to Martha. Well, I was in love with her. And our relationship got more serious. And then she hit me with another one. She said, I can't be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And as a Jew, I don't know what unequally yoked meant. It sounded like egg yolks to me. You know, I decided that it was not such a big issue. Martha was just very naive in her beliefs. And I would just disprove her beliefs. I would disprove the divinity of Jesus to her. To me, I was full of pride, all puffed up. I said, it's not a big deal. So I started reading the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and like many people, Isaiah 53 just blew me away. You know, I saw Jesus for who he was, and I saw in my head, I knew that he was the Messiah, but I have to confess to you, I was not willing to accept the consequences. I was afraid of my family's reaction. So I knew the truth, but I just was running, you know, and I said, I just can't do this. So I struggled for the longest time, and the more I ran, the more I was confronted with Jesus. Everywhere I looked, I was confronted with Jesus. I was into photography, and I remembered buying this book, and the name of the book was With Open Hands. I thought it was a photography book. I bring it home. It's a Christian book about prayer. And so everywhere I looked, I was just confronted with him. I was into the folk singer Jackson Browne, and I remember blasting my stereo on, and the lyrics went, come on, people, look around you. The signs are everywhere. And it just, you know, God was speaking to me. He was pounding on my heart. And I am just so grateful for his grace and mercy. Ultimately, I accepted him as my Savior and Lord. And my life has not been the same. I just want to share briefly, I promise, Gary. Martha and I were married on August 21st, 1977, so if you do the math, we just had our 30th wedding anniversary. Thank you. We have been blessed with two beautiful daughters, and I'm just so grateful that Rebecca is here with us. And Rebecca, you and your sister Bethany are just such a blessing and a joy to me and Mommy, and we just are just so thankful every day for you girls. Since accepting Jesus into our lives, into my life, our lives have not been easy. Our family has dealt with some painful tragedies over the last 5 years. I do know that no matter what we face, he will never leave us nor forsake us. We are called to live out our daily lives for his purposes. It's not about us. I do know that God is in control, that he is good, that he walks with us daily, and one day Yeshua the Messiah will return and make all things right again. That is the hope that we have as believers. The Messiah is coming back, and he will wipe away all the pain, all the hurt, and all the questions. That is the hope that I heard as a child when my grandmother told me about the Messiah, only she didn't know that he was Jesus. Thank you.